Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to the Chaglin and the Fraglin folk. Good morning to the Elf Kingdom and the dwarves that live in caves. Good morning to Korea and to Japan. Good morning, it's Saturday. It's Saturday, November the 16th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc, and it's almost 1:30 a.m. That's early, Dan. Yeah, that's fucking early. Or is it too late, you know? Is it too late? Is it too late to lose your hair? Is it too late to kill a bear? Is it too late to find your love? She'll fit you like a glove. She'll touch your heart and soul, baby. Is it way too late or way too early to find your adventure, to find your trip in the sky? Is it too late or too early to travel to Splunkton, to get that tornado pie, to get that margarita-style taco? That was her name, right? Margarita. In the news, RuPaul, famous for drag queens and drag shows and all kinds of drag racing, RuPaul famous for all kinds of gay bullshit, RuPaul famous for cross-dressing, has defeated Mike Tyson. Now, Dan, you know that's not true. It's that Jake Paul. Jake, fuck you, it's RuPaul. Because in reality, that would have been more interesting from what I've heard. I didn't watch the fight. I talked to some kids at the high school today, and they were all excited. And they said, why are you excited? I said, Mike Tyson's going to fight Jake Paul, and Mike Tyson's going to kick his ass. And I said, you know that Mike Tyson's in his 50s. Oh, that doesn't matter. I don't know. When I was in my 20s, like Jake Paul, and in much better shape when I was in the Army, I met some broke-down NCOs in their 30s and 40s who, you know, if you looked at them, you'd say, well, that guy looks like he's in good shape. But they had bandages and wraps and, well, they called it Ranger candy back in the day. I think they just call it Motrin or whatever today. But they were taking all the Ranger candy they could just to get through one additional PT, one 6 a.m. stand-up. And if you looked at them, you'd say, well, these guys, they look hard charging. And they were in their 30s, late 30s, and they were broke down broke. The reality is there are certain jobs that can break you. And some people get stronger as they get older, and some people get weaker. If you play professional football, you are voluntarily getting into car wrecks every fucking Sunday during the season, right? Or the Monday night football, whatever. But you might as well be getting into automotive accidents. And even if that uniform protects your body, your brain, your little floating chunk of fat in the bone cave is floating around and giving you all kinds of concussions. Concussions that don't leave a bruise on the outside, but there's a bruising on the inside. So you tell me. And so I thought it was funny. I thought it was funny that these kids, their notion was Mike Tyson had to win and that somehow age itself was not an issue. And I thought it was funny. I asked them, do you think the fight's going to be rigged? And they said no. Most of them, pretty much all of them said no. I guarantee you on Monday, one or two of them is going to come back and say, Mr. Sullivan, I think that fight was rigged. Really? And doesn't matter? I mean, I will tell you that a 58-year-old dude fighting somebody in their 20s for all kinds of reasons is probably going to be a bridge too far. If you assume they're both equal, like in terms of being professionals, more or less equal, if they're more or less equal, you would expect RuPaul or Jake Paul, Jake Paul, to defeat Mike Tyson 9 times out of 10. I'm going to read this article. It's from the New York Post. It's written by the Post Sports Desk, which means their AI tool. Headline, Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson fight live updates. Paul wins an absolute snoozer. Jake Paul won a unanimous decision over Mike Tyson on Friday night, though you may have missed it. The highly anticipated Netflix fight was marred by streaming issues throughout the night, but those who did get to see it saw Paul take control over the 58-year-old Tyson early and cruise to his 11th pro win. While Tyson managed to win the first two rounds, Paul found his groove and landed a whopping 78 of his 278 thrown punches to just 18 of 90 of Tyson's 97 attempts. Still, the final rounds came with boos from the AT&T Stadium crowd, and neither combatant made much effort to do anything as the clock ran down on the two-minute rounds. The judges scored the fight 80-72, 79-73, 79-73 for Paul, though it may not have even been that close, really. It may not have even been that close. So here's the deal, my friends out there in space-time world. I think this fight symbolizes so much and captures so much of the zeitgeist. I think it represents a lot, and I think you should think on it. Like, don't let me editorialize the fuck out of it. Meditate on how fucking pathetic things are. Keep in mind, I was told a long time ago, back in the 1990s, that the internet was going to be this amazingly perfect thing, and all the information would be like true, or you could find the truth, and it would be free, and it would be free, baby. We'd all be free. That didn't turn out, though, did it, really? It streamed poorly. I figured it would. I wanted to tell these kids, be careful. Netflix doesn't know what it's doing. Maybe it's just me with 20 years experience, but Netflix doesn't know what the fuck it's doing. It may think it's ready to stream a Mike Tyson fight. But in reality, that's a lot different than streaming a movie. On so many levels, it's very different. It changes the compression scheme. You know, one of the things about films is that you can really optimize compression around what you could call the no-signal pixels. Pixels that have no signal. Pixels that don't change. If it's a scene of some motherfucker, I don't know, Jimmy Stewart, and it's all black, well, you don't have to send black, or you can just send black with a number saying, black, fill in these grids. But when you're dealing with live sports, you have more randomness. And because of that randomness, the compression schemes don't always work. This is something that Netflix could have learned by talking to people who know what the fuck they're doing. So it's weird. It's weird that the fight had issues. I don't know what to tell you. It could be that Netflix is that fucking incompetent. It's kind of weird that people thought Mike Tyson was going to win. The fight itself is sort of just emblematic. You know, the reality is everybody gets old and dies. Nobody wants to see some young punk beat up their dad. But the truth is, there are a lot of young punks out there that could beat up dads. And the reason why, well, let me rephrase that. It's possible that the younger generations of Americans are so beaten down and mostly weak physically and mentally that to them, Mike Tyson seems like a god. And he really was. I mean, when he was at his fighting peak, he was amazing. And he still is for his age. But the fact is, just because a lot of younger people can't beat up their dads doesn't mean they couldn't. It just means that they've given up on the possibility. And it's a weird thing to think about. Like, should you be able to beat up your dad? And the reality is you should, but you shouldn't. Which is to say that, yeah, physically, you're going to reach a point where you can probably beat up your dad. And it's probably going to happen at some point in your 20s. And at the same time, one hopes that you're an adult and you just sort of say to yourself, well, gee, but I don't really need to. There's no reason to. I mean, if it's a normal relationship, why would you? And if it's a bad relationship, why would you waste your fucking time? You know? But I'll let you unpack the deeper psychological meaning of RuPaul defeating Mike Tyson. I just thought it was interesting. So one of the messages I get about culture from people is that it's got to be less racist and less homophobic, Dan. It can't be so sexist. It's got to represent our modern Western values. And then I point out something to these shitheads. Not just that it seems like every other show on CBS is some type of cop show, but I point out the simple fact that whatever TV you watch in the last 20, 30 years, for the most part, if there's police involved in the storyline, breaking into people's homes without a warrant gets normalized. It's like, oh, don't you need a warrant? Oh, fuck it, I'm a hero cop. Don't you need a search warrant? Fuck it, I'm going after the serial killer. And if reality were like the movies, a lot of us would say, okay, you know, he's going after Ted Bundy. Fuck the warrant, right? Not necessarily me, being my, you know, what my belief system is. But a lot of people would say, fuck it. But that's not reality. Reality is a lot of very greasy, dirty cops take advantage of our apathy with respect to the Bill of Rights, and they just trample over it, and they just rip people off. They rip off drugs from drug dealers. They rip off money from drug dealers. They rip off criminals, and they pretend they're fighting crime. That's also true. Is that every single cop? No. There are a lot of good cops who stand around watching this bullshit, you know? So yeah, when somebody tells me that the reason why people like me are censored is because we're protecting Western values, what they're really saying is, Dan, you can't be heard like so many other people for the simple fact that you tell people maybe it's not okay for anybody to break into somebody's house. Maybe it's wrong to simply trample on anybody's property. In fact, you don't even need a law. You should kind of know it's wrong to steal. And you should kind of know that murder is wrong. You know, you should. If you don't, and you're an adult, you're broken. It's kind of like the kid who says, well, I can beat up my dad, therefore I will. Well, you know, that's an attitude. And there's certainly shitheads with that attitude. I would put, you know, Nick Fuentes, for example, if you're familiar with that shithead. There are people out there who, you know, the will justifies the means. You got the strength to do it, do it. It doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. It matters a lot, actually. You know. Anyways, next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. In the errors, in the mistakes, we see the patina of causality. In those little flubs, in those things that happen, when you stub your toe, you get to know that it's connected, that life is real, that you're here, and you're not there yet, but you will die, but not today. And the web is connected, baby. Yeah, what does that mean, Dan? I don't know if it means a whole lot. One of the subjects that comes up in some of my podcasts, one of the philosophical topics is this question of, well, it's a metaphysical question, and that is, how do we have conversations about and how do we adjudicate reality? Like, what is it? And as a Christian, I could say, well, it's God, right? When you look at a book, it's God's stuff. And when you look at a TV, it's made out of stuff, you know, that God created. It's God's stuff. Everything's made of God's stuff. And that's really simple. And for a long time, that was more or less Western philosophy, with some modifications based upon the reintroduction of the Hellenics, of the Greeks during the High Middle Ages. That's Aristotle. That's Plato. That's, you know, all kinds of other motherfuckers. But sometimes it's really when we see things go awry that reality manifests itself. And this is not an original idea. Nietzsche talked about this. A lot of existentialists explore this idea that in the chaos and frenzy of mistakes, of errors, of things going awry, of things going sideways, we see evidence of reality. You know, we see evidence of being here. And again, I'm not saying that it's good to have errors or mistakes. It sucks. I mean, sometimes it means that everybody thinks Mike Tyson's going to win and everybody bets on Mike Tyson and, you know, he loses. And is it a mistake? Like, for example, if in fact that fight were rigged, that would not be random bullshit. That'd be planned bullshit. But how you respond to it, though. Is it a mistake? You know? We all want, I think, on some level, as humans, we want to be certain that what we're seeing is true. And so if we watch a fight between Jake Paul and Ron Paul, I want to see RuPaul fight Ron Paul in a cage match. Fuck, that would be awesome. Somebody put that on TV in the Philippines. We watch a fight between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. And Jake Paul's in his 20s and Mike Tyson is almost 60 years old. And we say to ourselves, well, you know, Mike Tyson has the protein shakes and he has, you know, whatever nutrients. He doesn't take roids. Well, that's good. Although it might have helped, right? But at the end of the day, the guy's almost 60. And so if somebody comes up to me and says, I got two fighters that are more or less close in weight. One is twice the age of the other. One is in his 50s. The other's in his 20s. Who's going to win if they're close enough in terms of skill? Who's going to win? And when I say close enough, you could say Mike Tyson's an A-plus fighter and Jake Paul's a B-minus. But in the world of one guy is almost 60 and one guy is not 30 yet, that doesn't really matter as much as you think it does. Okay, I know you want to believe. It's like women watch a movie where a 120-pound woman tosses a 300-pound man across the room. And like Building 7 on 9/11, it doesn't fucking add up, brother. You know? I know it makes you feel better, sister, when you're watching that 120 girl throw the 400-pound man, but how can I phrase it? That just makes you feel better. There are more muscles in that meathead's neck than you have in your whole body, girl. And you're telling me you're snapping his neck. How are you doing that exactly? We want to believe what we're seeing is real, usually, because what we're being fed reinforces our own bias, our own desires, you know. So we want to believe a Mike Tyson's going to defeat a Jake Paul, just like we want to believe a Donald Trump is going to save the day, or a Barack Obama. It doesn't really matter if it's Trump or Obama, they're both magical heroes. But it's in the stuff that doesn't add up. It's in the mistakes, the errors. It's in the times when you say to yourself, I've seen three different photographs of Trump, and not one of them looks like the same guy. Same applies to Biden. It's in those moments that you realize, yeah, you're here. You may not know what here is. it could be a simulation. If there's no God, then what I would settle on at this point is that it's some type of manufactured reality. And it could possibly be a kind of prison created by aliens. Who knows? It feels sometimes like a hell. And if it weren't for God and the Holy Spirit and those exceptional moments where I think the Lord steps in to help, I would be left with, this is fake, all of it. It's garbage. You're fake. And I'm probably fake too. Until I'm walking to the fucking grocery store in December of 2022, Boblimpdoc. Late December. It's cold and rainy, snowy, icy, blowy, Raytheon soapy snow, very slick. And I slip on the ice and I break my left arm. And if I was unsure about my connection to reality during those almost 2 weeks managing a trauma waiting for surgery, after those 2 weeks of clickety-clickety, scritchety-scratchety, you know, two pieces of my arm rubbing together, after, you know, giving birth to my bunctus baby, I think it was Christmas Eve 2022, my clickety-clackety broken arm on the toilet for almost 6 hours, I had to use a tablespoon as a forceps to pry out that bunctus baby. I gave birth to 5 pounds, 6 pounds, I think 8 pounds, 10 ounces. Dropped that baby in the fucking toilet. Flushed the toilet. People say men can't have babies. My bunctus septic tank sewer baby is crying out for me. Somewhere in Utah. Poor little septic tank baby. Never did nobody harm. Never hurt nobody's dog. You think he's a big brown log, but he's my special sewer baby. My bunctus baby. Yes, if you're on Percocet for pain control, drink plenty of water and just don't eat like cheeseburgers. Because after a few days, you'll realize you haven't been pooping. And by day 5 or 6, that's when you're in labor. I have published the 20th edition of Boblimpdoc Towards a New Lurching. There is a link in the notes to the notes to the link. If you go to boblimpdoc.com, I will have that URL forever, which given my level of censorship means maybe 12 to 18 months. But if you think 12 to 18 months is forever, forever it will point towards my manifesto, my Danifesto. Currently, it's roughly 81,000 words. All kinds of shit in there, baby. You can change your fucking life. It's my Dianetics. My Danetics. My Danifesto. I can start my celebrity center now. Tom Cruise, John Travolta, pick up the phone. Give me a call. You're coming home. I'm gonna give you a new way. I'll give you the suitcase. I'll give you the magic wand. Come on home to Boblimpdoc and the healing centers. You can start my first Boblimpdoc celebrity center in Hollywood, California. Maybe I get the 501c3, like the Scientology. Oops, I guess the Branch Davidians didn't get that prize that year. But Scientology did. The same year, the very fucking same year that the US government set fire to a bunch of people, Scientology became a religion, according to the IRS. Isn't that funny? One group of crazy people get burnt alive. The other group get tax-exempt status. One group of crazy people with all kinds of accusations, they get no time in court. They are turned to ashes. The other group, all fancy and shiny, with an L. Ron Hubbard style mystique. You didn't have that, David Koresh. If you'd had an L. Ron Hubbard style ship out there being a pedo, I have no doubt that the Clinton administration would have pardoned you to go to Epstein's Island on the Scientological Express. which is a long-winded way of saying that now that I published my manifesto, Danifesto, in various editions, and this is the 20th edition, I can now get into woodworking and wood carving. I don't have a person in my life that owns land in Montana, but maybe somewhere out there, you know, you live in Montana and you want to donate a little chunk of it with a little shed with maybe one window. And I can work on woodworking projects now. And you can say, okay, Dan, that sounds okay. I think that sounds fucking great. Because this is my Dianetics. This is my Scientology. This is my compound in the jungles of Guyana. I am your Jim Jones. Will you be my Teddy McMusket? Yeah, just go to bullblimpdoc.com. And my manifesto will always be there for you. PDF form, you can print it out. I'm trying to get Amazon to make me a paperback, but it seems like a horrible process. Here is a quote from Dr. Freckles. But I'm going to drink some sacred coffee first. As you well know, as your overlord guru, according to the Bo Blimp Talk statutes and all the ancient writings of Dr. Freckles, I own your mind now. You have to send me all your money, okay? So I'm going to drink my sacred coffee, and you can just meditate on how much of your gold you're going to send me. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. You see a princess that needs help. I see a coked-up, herpes-ridden slut sending out threat chain emails. We are not the same. You see an old man with a beard looking for a hero. I see a shitty old aqualung who looks like a zero showing up at my little home, my little hovel, my cabin in the Shire. Hey there, Mr. Gandalf. I have a 454. It's named Kasul, pointed right at you. You see a princess that needs help. You're a fucking sucker. You see a princess that needs help. I see a coked up, herpes ridden slut sending out threat chain emails. We are not the same, Dr. Freckles, right? Oh my God, my whole life going back, I think that it was one of the first words I learned. Like one of the first words I learned as a kid, as a little kid growing up in the 70s, one of the first words I understood, not the only one, I think I knew mom and dad first, but very quickly after mom and dad, this word popped up. And the word was Holocaust. Holocaust. And here's the deal. All of the culture, all of the media, I don't care if it's, you know, Fiddler on the Roof, which again is about the Russian pogroms, not about the Holocaust, but it sort of fit into the period of time. Whether it was the musicals or the movies or the TV shows, during the 70s, and it really amped up in the 80s and 90s, we were fed a continuous diet of the Holocaust. 6 million Jews were killed, right? That's the number. It wasn't 7 million, it wasn't 3. It was exactly 6 million Jews who were killed by the Nazis. And then over the years, you'll get a historian who says, well, Dan, you know, it was probably 5 million this or 6 million that. And like Henri Bergson, in the real world, 1 and 1 never equals 2, right? It's always 2 plus or minus some small fraction. My whole life, I was told that the Holocaust was a real thing. And then in addition to that, my whole life I was told that the state of Israel, the modern state of Israel, was, you know, more or less destined by the Lord, that it was somehow going to happen because God wanted it to happen. It was preordained. And that they are our necessary, inherently good allies, although we don't have any real... We don't really have any type of agreement with them. I don't know if most people realize this, but they get a tremendous amount of aid, the state of Israel, but we don't really have any proper treaties with these people. It's kind of funny when you think about it. But yeah, we are told they are absolutely necessary, indispensable allies in the Middle East. We are told that when we send them money, it keeps us more secure. That our nation is more secure because we unequivocally, and this applies to all the parties, I don't care Democrat, Republican, you don't drop almost 10,000 tons per square mile on a fucking prison camp in a year of TNT. You don't do that if the Democrats don't support it. Sorry. You don't do that if Bernie Sanders doesn't support it. And let's be honest, with all the bullshit that comes out of the left's mouths, to include Jill Stein, with all the disdain and anger and protest, nothing stops it. Nothing stops the pipeline of money and bombs that goes to the state of Israel. I've been told since I was a little kid, the state of Israel is like Princess fucking Leia. And the Holocaust is like Alderaan. You know, they blew up the planet, and we have to fight back against the bad guys. But here's the deal, folks. Let's pretend for the sake of argument that everything we've been told about the Holocaust is true. I don't believe that's the case, but let's play pretend. In the history of the world, this is not the only great tragedy involving a group of people. It's not. I could tell you very explicitly, for hundreds of years, the government, the people, the nation of England punished and beat down, took advantage of, enslaved, and killed a shit ton of Irish people. A shit ton. And as a percentage of actual Irish people that exist, I think the numbers would shock people. Yeah, I don't know if I could point to a case where 6 million Irish people were killed, but let's be honest, throughout history, there weren't always that many Irish. So killing a few hundred was a big fucking deal. You know, Irish people, under Mao Zedong, Chinese people, under Stalin, Ukrainians and Russians and everybody else, under Pol Pot, Cambodians. I mean, under just about any crooked leader you can find, you'll find a lot of dead bodies. Under multiple presidents in the 19th century and frankly the 20th century to some extent in a different way, the Native Americans, the indigenous people of this nation, were beaten down and abused. Didn't matter if it was a Democrat or Republican. That's closer to the truth. And so when people tell me about Israel and the Holocaust, I used to say, okay, it's almost like you get guilted. And that's how the programming works so well, is that if you question the state of Israel, and if you question the Holocaust, all of a sudden your own guilt kicks in. Oh my God, Dan, how can you question the sacred memory? Princess Leia was a manipulator. Gandalf is a manipulator. The state of Israel is a really crooked nation and not our friend. And supporting the state of Israel never made us safer. In fact, I would contend that the more financial support we have given to the state of Israel, the less safe the average American has become in terms of war, in terms of destruction. And as far as the Holocaust goes, the longer people tell me something over and over again, the less meaning it has as a signal. And this isn't just me. This is, you know, a famous electrical engineer and computer scientist by the name of Claude Shannon. If you keep telling me the same bullshit over and over and over again, even if it's true, the message loses all meaning. And that's where I'm at with the Holocaust, frankly. The whole thing. If you tell me your great aunt, uncle, you know, died at Auschwitz, okay. How'd you find out, though? And we could spend, you know, just on what I know about the true history of World War II, we could spend hours talking about the whole Holocaust situation and how shady it looks. And I've never dug that much into the alt world with respect to the Holocaust. I would just tell you the standard stuff that you would learn just by going to the library at the University of Washington, fairly ordinary stuff that most people don't get from a high school education. The fact is, at any time during World War II, we could have stopped At any point during World War II, specifically after the Bonsi Conference, 1942, we could have stopped the Holocaust. I mean, yeah, the Nazis could have shot a bunch of people. They could have still done a bunch of killing. But in terms of the wholesale, you know, factory method of murdering people, we could have stopped it. So if it was ongoing, then we more or less thought it was okay. On the other hand, maybe it didn't happen. This is the thing, folks. There's a lot about World War II that's really shady. Not just how the war started, but also how it ended. And it, in that sense, it's similar to World War I. Banker wars. Wars where the banks profited, but the rest of us paid a debt of blood. And that's not changed, has it? Does Princess Leia, or Gandalf, or fucking Luke Skywalker, or Obi-Wan, goddamn Kenobi, do they ever come up to you and explain that the only winners in the great battle between the rebels and the Empire are the banks that finance this shit? I will say this, you know, it's funny. Very seldom do TV shows ever come close to the actual truth. In general, they dance around it or they make fun of it. They mock the truth or they dance around it. And I never read the fucking books. I don't really care to. But I did watch that show, Game of Thrones. And I love the episodes where the Iron Bank shows up, because essentially you're left with this idea that the Iron Bank doesn't really give a fuck. It doesn't care who wins or loses. It simply wants to get fucking paid. And in a sense, this is a much more honest situation than what we have. What we have is the banks want to control who wins and who loses. The banks control Princess Leia. The banks control Gandalf. The banks fucking control Obi-Wan fucking Kenobi. You think they're coming up to your door to knock on it and say, let's go on a journey together. This is some real Joseph Campbell, Carl Gustav fucking Jung bullshit here. This is mythological, you know. Let's put on some Wagner and read the fucking, you know, Hero with a Thousand Faces, fuck you. Okay, George Lucas. But the truth is, George Lucas and the story itself are probably equally contrived. And what you're left with is that Princess Leia, she works for Goldman Sachs, and she does a lot of coke. She has herpes. If she sent you a threat chain saying, you're the only hope, don't be a dope, learn how to cope, don't get hung by that rope, and stay away from fucking Leia. Next topic. Dan, you're ruining everything. I know, Mr. Scrumbo. I know, but we're supposed to become Grinkin' men and women by now. This is an article I'm about to read from NBCNews.com. Headline, Matt Gaetz, ex-girlfriend, testifies to grand jury in sex trafficking probe. This article is written by Mark Caputo. Or Mauro Caputo. I think it's a C there. I can't really tell. But yeah, it's Mark Caputo. It was published on January 12th, 2022. So this is not recent news. It's a couple years old. And I read on. Representative Matt Gaetz's ex-girlfriend testified Wednesday before a federal grand jury investigating him for sex crimes, a major development that suggests the Department of Justice may be moving closer to indicting him. The ex-girlfriend, whose name is being withheld by NBC News to respect her privacy, has been in talks for months with prosecutors about an immunity deal. Under a possible deal, she would avoid prosecution for obstruction of justice in return for testifying in the investigation into whether Gaetz, in 2017, had sex with a 17-year-old female for money, and whether months later he and others violated federal law prohibiting people from transporting others across state lines to engage in prostitution. Legal sources familiar with the case say Gaetz is being investigated for three distinct crimes: sex trafficking the 17-year-old, violating the Mann Act, which prohibits taking women across state lines for prostitution, and obstructing justice. Getz has not been charged with a crime and has denied all accusations, saying he never paid for sex and never had sex with a minor when he was an adult. The firebrand conservative has called the federal investigation into him a DOJ witch hunt. The attorney for Getz's ex-girlfriend, Tim Jansen, declined comment about the case Wednesday when he was spotted by an NBC News reporter entering the federal courthouse in Orlando with his client. A Department of Justice spokesman declined comment. Getz did not respond to a request for comment. I'm going to stop right here. Before I continue, what is the first rule we follow as Sovietologists? Don't ask if the article's telling the truth, okay? You don't live in a free country. Don't be a fucking retard. Don't ask the question, is it true? Ask the question, why are you being told this? If you were to say to me, Dan, I got terrible news. I'm a journalist. I need to tell you some. I'm a journalist. I'm underground. I'm freelance. I got terrible truth for you. Terrible truth for you, Dan. You want to hear the terrible truth? Washington, D.C. is corrupt. You know. I don't need to be told that Washington, D.C. is a cesspool. I don't need a magical orange king to tell me it's a swamp. The fact that the swamp king tells you it's a swamp doesn't really help you in any way whatsoever. But it's interesting to note that Matt Getz, assuming he gets approved, you know, everyone says it's okay, and at this point, it kind of looks like this sausage party's moving on. So yeah, it looks like he is going to be. But Matt Getz was chosen, whether he gets approved or not, to be the Attorney General by Donald Trump. I don't know a ton about the guy. I don't know if he's actually sleazy or if this is actually a witch hunt. I find it hard to believe that it is a witch hunt. But here's what I will tell you. If you look into all the appointments that Trump has, all of them, and Tulsi Gabbard is one of those exceptions that proves the rule, because let's call her our Colin Powell. Tulsi's going to be our Colin Powell for purposes of this conversation, you know, and she'll have a little jar of semen that she'll go before the UN with, okay. But with the exception of Tulsi, if you look into any of these people, the shithead who's going to be the next Secretary of Defense, this fuck Getz, they all have connections to the State of Israel. They all have very strong connections to Zionism. All of them would be okay with turning Iran, into, you know, what? A giant plate of glass. They would be okay with, you know, dropping the big one. And if you remember the narrative buildups of late 2002, okay, this is a year after quote-unquote 9/11. I don't even want to talk about that bullshit. Oh, but Dan, the terrorist blew up all those buildings. We don't talk about World Trade Center 7. Fuck off. But remember late 2002 and the buildup to the whole weapons of mass bullshit and how Saddam Hussein was definitely whatever? Colin Powell was the dude who went out there and put his reputation on the line for what was and will continue to be, in any reasonable universe, an illegal war of aggression. Our attack on Iraq was an illegal war of aggression. Our current invasion of and the stealing of property from the nation of Syria is illegal. It's not, if you believe in your bullshit, if you're a fucking Trump voter who tried to tell me I should vote because you still think there's a rule of law, Trump said, let's keep the fucking oil. There is nothing in the history of legalities concerning warfare that calls the 2003 invasion legal or the ripping off of property and oil from the Syrian people legal. Go fuck yourself. So it does look like they're building up to the narrative, which is we got to go to war with Iran. It does. Does that mean it's going to happen? Who the fuck knows? I'm not in charge. Neither is Trump. Neither is Biden. Whoever the fuck Kamala is, she's not in charge either. You know? You would have to know people that people like me and you, assuming you're not a Fed, and even if you are really, Fed or not, if you're listening, fuck off. But people like us never get to meet these people. We never get to know them. Maybe the closest you would ever come to meeting one of these shitheads would be a plot line of one of those, you know, Hostel movies. You know, those horror films, Hostel, where the kids go overseas and they get tortured. I think the closest people like us would ever get to meeting one of these shitheads would be if we were being tortured to death in some secret fucking dungeon. That's it. So who the fuck knows? What I can tell you is Matt Gaetz looks sleazy. He looks like he's connected to the state of Israel. And again, he's one of these appointments that looks like that's what's going to happen. And I will also just emphasize, if Tulsi Gabbard ends up joining the Trump administration, she's going to get used to do the Colin Powell. Oh my God, they tried to kill Papa Blump. The Iranians came after Papa Blump. Oh my God. We gotta drop some bombs. But this is not 2002. This is an important thing we need to consider, brothers and sisters. This isn't 2002. This isn't the same population. The young people who expected Mike Tyson to win, these are the people that, you know, would get drafted and sent to fight if there's a full-fledged war and not just a bombing campaign. But I'm not entirely sure that the Iranians are pushovers. And if it comes to some sort of bombing campaign, yeah, it looks like the state of Israel is in the bomb sites. On the other hand, folks, this could be about as real as the Ukraine war. This could be a question of shifting focus. Like, the Ukraine war has kind of played out in terms of controlling the minds of the American public. This could be a narrative shift. Let me drink some more coffee here. Dan, you sound sick. No, it's 2 a.m, you fucking retard. Anyways, this could be a shift in narrative, is what we're looking at, from the Ukraine war to an Iranian situation. Who knows? Matt Gaetz looks sleazy to me. Here is a quote from Dr. Freckles. No matter who you voted for Trump. If you voted for Oliver Twist, if you voted for Jill Stein, if you voted for Kamala, you voted for Trump. I don't care who you voted for. You might have voted for the commie. You still voted for Trump, though. What does that mean, Dr. Freckles? Well, let's think on that, brothers and sisters. What the fuck do you think it means? I don't think your vote's connected to anything. It's kind of like reading this article about Matt Gaetz. Ignore him as a person. I don't really know him. He could be a great guy. But the fact that the article itself makes him seem like a giant shithead, and the fact that he is being chosen for attorney general, is of interest from a Sovietological perspective. With respect to your voting, I don't really give a fuck who you voted for. But the fact that you went into that booth or filled out that paperwork means that you were paying some level of homage, some level of respect to what is at best just a shitty institution, and at worst a representation of the devil on the planet. You know, all governments, not just the United States. Every single government on the planet, if you believe in God, they don't represent God. The government of Israel doesn't represent God. I don't mean to shock you, but the Vatican and the Pope don't represent God, and neither does the president. And if we have some war, I don't mean to shock you, Mr. and Mrs. Christian, but if we have another fucking war or add more war to the planet, that's not work for Christ either. We're not working for Christ in Syria. We're stealing oil. Okay, we didn't work for Christ when we invaded Iraq in 2003. We were ripping off resources and oil. We were protecting the U.S. dollar. What the fuck did we do in Afghanistan other than toxify the place a little bit more with depleted uranium? What the fuck did we do there? I don't care who you voted for. You could have voted for Trump, and yeah, you voted for Trump, you got Trump, but you're going to get exactly what you fucking deserve. You are. And that's not a curse. That's a simple truth. You voted for this thing by respecting this thing. The best thing you can do at this point in your life is evacuate those dumb ideas about politics from your fucking skull. Get rid of them. That's the best advice I can give you. Escape that bullshit. Next topic. Oh my God, Dan. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to read this, but I have a link to an article about the Amityville house. Ugh. How it's still haunted. I don't know. I don't even know what to tell you. If you have a connection to this story and you want to read the article, you can. But it kind of reminds me of the sort of recurrent sort of storylines in fiction about how something terrible happens, but people have to keep going back. And isn't that like the Middle East and the situation with the state of Israel? It's like it's a horror story that never, ever fucking ends. It's a never-ending fucking horror story. And we're constantly told if we don't help them, everything's going to go bad. But the more we help them, the worse it gets. How is that not like every fucking slasher film you've ever seen? Oh yeah, someone comes in, I'm going to help, I'm a helper. And the helper gets his head chopped off. I'm a helper. And the USS Liberty gets strafed. And sailors in the water get strafed. And nobody talks about the USS Liberty, a naval ship. Strafed and attacked by the necessary landlocked aircraft carrier, also called the State of Israel. Yeah. They are our essential, necessary ally in the Middle East. I know. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Trump is Black Obama. If you know, you know. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. People thought Obama was bad, but imagine Black Obama. Yeah. I don't care who I offend by saying this. I've said to people I'm blacker than Obama, and in so many ways I am. Good or bad, I don't fucking care. But yeah, Trump is the Black Obama. Trump is that. If you can understand what I'm getting at, a lot of you are going to be very fucking disappointed very fucking soon. Either disappointed because you'll slowly realize my best case scenario, which is your worst case scenario, is definitely going to happen. That's going to be part of your fucking disappointment. But a big portion of it's going to be the fact that just like every other time, Trump is going to disappoint you. You're going to have more PSYOP bullshit, more Las Vegas random 60-year-old men winning against 20-year-olds, right? You remember that bullshit from 2017? That random bullshit, the 60-plus-year-old dude who seemed to have all the skills of a special operations soldier, and the Las Vegas hotel that randomly let people load up an arsenal into their room. Everything made sense about it, didn't it? The Vegas shooting, it all made so much fucking sense. Trump is the Black Obama. If you don't know this, you're fucking confused, okay? He is just as shitty. He's just as terrible. He's just a little bit more black. Next topic. Oh, Dan, you're being racist. No, that's all the topics for today. And fuck you, Mr. Scrumbo. It is 2:20 a.m., Saturday, November the 16th, 2024, Boblimp Doc. It's early. It's early in the morning. Some of you haven't even had your kettle corn coffee yet. Some of you are just waking up to the sun breaking over the horizon. You live in Kentucky. Some of you are waking up to the sunshine, daytime, morning time. You gotta go milk the fucking cow. You gotta go take care of the kittens. You gotta go feed the dog. You gotta go move that log out of your butt crack zone. You gotta go get blown from your morning time wife or your morning time girlfriend. Oh yeah, RuPaul. He kicked Mike Tyson's butt. Can you believe that fight? Oh honey, it was terrible. I'm canceling Netflix. I'm going to Amazon Prime. That'll make things better. Wake up, Farmer Ted. The harvest is coming.